Hi, everyone. So I'm Abhishek Dasgupta. I'm a senior research software engineer in the University of Oxford. And I'm presenting Carpenters Offline today with my colleagues, Janata and Colin. And so Carpenters Offline is about teaching data science and coding skills in low resource settings in places where you don't have internet. It's a way to do courses without access to the internet. So who are we? So Janata is at Newcastle, and Colin is at the National Oceanography Center. I'll let them introduce themselves later on. And there are other people as well. We have collaborators from the University of Florida, and also Stellenbosch and Durham. What is the Carpentries? So for those of you who do not know, the Carpentries is a nonprofit organization, which was built to teach foundational coding and data science skills to researchers. And their vision is to be inclusive and to make the software teaching skills as accessible to as many people as possible. And they have various kinds of carpentry. So they share some courses like software carpentry, data carpentry, which is focused on data science, and also library carpentry for library and information sciences. And we have various roles, like we have a carpentry instructor, so anyone can go through instructor training and be a certified carpentry instructor. There are carpentry workshops, which go through the approved carpentry curriculum, which includes things like introduction to Git, introduction to Shell, and introductory courses in R and Python. And we use technologies like web-based. Well, our course notes are all open source and all online, and we use Etherpad and Google Docs for shared notes, and everything is on GitHub. So how did Carpentries Offline start? So again, it was at the Software Sustainability Institute Collaborations Workshop, Hack Day. So we started upon this idea that, what if you do not have internet? And of course, a lot of the instructions in the current Carpentries curriculum require you to access to internet. So, they will say download this from PyPI, or download, Python or RStudio and install it. What happens when you don't have access to internet, or maybe internet is very expensive, or maybe you want to work on the Eurostar, which we found out that internet doesn't really work and the Wi-Fi is there, but it's a sham, So we came up with the idea that, okay, why not use Raspberry Pis, because they're cheap and available. I think this was before they suddenly became unavailable, but basically using some sort of low-cost single-board computer to host the Carpentries infrastructure and allow people to access it offline. So it won the Hack Day, and it also, Janata had the SSI Fellowship on that in 2022. So the first part of it is actually getting the data from the internet onto the Raspberry Pi. So that's a package developed by a team at the University of Florida in collaboration with us. And that's called Offline Data Sci. So Offline Data Sci is a component of Carpentries Offline, but you can use it outside. So if you, for some reason, want to get R and Python and like the common packages, Pandas and NumPy, all that, cached onto your computer so they can work offline, you can do that. By default, it will install a certain set of packages which are customized for Carpentries, but you can add your own packages to that. And it's available on PyPI, so you can pip install it. What we mirror is the latest installers in Python and R, and also we do partial mirrors of PyPI and CRAN. You can customize the packages, so you can specify your own packages to download. And once you download it, you can set your local pip or CRAN to get data from that. And then we also mirror Carpentries Online material, of course, and installers like RStudio. So I'll hand over to Colin.
Thank you. So there's been three threads to our project in terms of building hardware that people can actually go and use. So the first is to put the carpentries offline onto a Raspberry Pi that can be booted up and run at a workshop. The other is to actually build a bootable flash drive that could be used with an old laptop, perhaps. And then the third and latest one is to actually build a miniature HPC high-performance computer that can be used for teaching HPC lessons. So for the first option, we have the Raspberry Pi. I have here a Raspberry Pi Zero, one of the cheaper ones. I think these, when they're in stock, cost about $10 or $15 or euros. And they can run as a Wi-Fi access point, mirroring everything. Some of our lessons require us to have GitHub. So instead of GitHub, we have a program called Gitty, which kind of has all the functionality of GitHub but is self-hosted on the Raspberry Pi. We can also run an Etherpad server, mirrors of all the lessons, and CRAN and PyPI mirrors. So what it looks like, we can use this, the Pi Zero, or we can use the bigger Pi 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 now. And when this boots up, and I will try and do a little demo. It will take a minute. So when it boots up, you should see an access point called Carpentries Offline that will be accessible. If you were to then join that access point and go to your web browser and type in carpentriesoffline.org or 192.168.1.1, you will see the web page that is listed there, and that will then enable you to get onto the Carpentries Offline. Do we dare do this? Where's the Wi-Fi chooser?
It should be at the bottom. Let's see.
To
be there.
Oh, sorry. No. Nope. It's on there. It's there.
Good.
Yeah.
Is that joining? Connecting? You can see this on that screen. It says we're established, so let's see if the demo gods are in our favor. And there we go. So there is the web page being served from this little Raspberry Pi Zero. If I was to click, for instance, on the data carpentry and go to the R Ecology lesson, there is a complete mirror of the R Ecology lesson that we can then teach from. And we also have Git-T, so you can log into Git-T and have a very similar experience to GitHub. Or if you want to download some software, so say you need to install R, there is an R Windows and an R Mac package available for you to download. And so we haven't got it listed on this page, but you can then point your CRAN or your PyPI installation at this server and install things from those mirrors instead of having to get them off the internet. And I will put this back on EduRoam to keep going with the slides.
The slides are PDFs.
Oh, okay. So I don't need the internet.
View full screen.
That's not working. I'm just going to keep going from there. So one of the problems with trying to build the image for the Raspberry Pi is we initially started with a set of instructions of, boot up your Raspberry Pi with an image you've just downloaded, type this and type this and type this and type this, and eventually you'll have a Carpentries image. We then moved to having a shell script that could run all of that automatically so that it was a bit easier to reproduce. And then at a hackathon we went to, someone suggested what seemed like a brilliant idea of we could run this in GitHub Actions and do it all in the cloud and have that just spit out a Raspberry Pi image for us. Many hard months of work later, realized this wasn't quite so easy because the emulator for the Raspberry Pi is really slow. And it turns out that GitHub Actions actually has a 6-hour time limit, which wasn't enough to do all of our installation. We had a few hacks to speed things up. So one of the things we found is that it not just is the computation slow, but the network access out of the emulator is really, really slow. So downloading anything inside the emulator was much slower than downloading outside. So we actually download all of the offline data size stuff outside of the emulator, mount it in a virtual drive, and then copy it into the emulated image and build the emulated image. And now we've got it down to about 2 hours, and it pretty much works. The one snag I'm currently having is that GitHub is not allowing us to upload the final image, and I think we're hitting the maximum file size limit from GitHub. I need to find somewhere else to host our images. But there's a link later on to our GitHub if you do want to go and download the last image we managed to get on there. As a kind of side effect of doing that, I started testing builds in the cloud just natively on a AMD 64 system and realized that we could also then build a Docker container containing all of this. And that was actually kind of useful during workshops, because sometimes some of the carpentry's infrastructure would go down midway through a workshop. And the last thing you want halfway through a workshop is telling everyone to go and download something and finding that the website they want has gone down. So we found that we could also replicate all of the infrastructure in the cloud or on our own server if we have a server. And it meant we had a backup version of everything needed to run a workshop, which has saved me on multiple occasions now from workshops where we lost access to something. And I've now got a, you know, almost one-press solution with a Docker container that I can deploy out to a cloud, which also works very nicely for testing stuff. It's sort of the tail end of the COVID pandemic. Raspberry Pis got really, really hard to get hold of and really expensive. It was always the joke that Janetta had all of them in her house, but I don't think she was the sole cause of that. But the chip shortage certainly didn't help us. And so we started looking for alternatives to the Pi. Do you want to take over at this point?
Or
do I want to do this bit?
I don't mind. But where are we now?
On to option two.
Oh, okay. So this option two was also because you can, some people say, but I already have a laptop, so why do I want to go and buy a Pi? Especially if we look at countries where you don't have access, that's already a big problem, apart from when they are too scarce to find. So we've come up with the idea of doing exactly what we're doing with the SD card for the Pi, creating an image for that, but creating an image on a flash drive, which can also be downloaded, written to a flash drive, and it has exactly, basically the same software on as the SD card. And you can just boot any laptop that you can boot from a flash drive, you can boot from the flash drive and it turns it into the same server as we have here. So now let's put this. So more or less last year, April, I was running a workshop, an intro to HPC, and everything that could possibly go wrong did. I was starting to think, well, I also had a shedload of my fellowship money left, and I had to spend that on something. And I thought, but hang on, if we extend this project to cover the intro to HPC, that would be a really cool thing to do. And there were a few things that we could do with them in the HPC. The hardware is more visible, so people don't know really what an HPC is. It's this massive thing in the cloud somewhere hidden, and they don't really ever get to see the HPC that they work on it. And it's also quite easy to mimic the reaching the limitations, which you're not going to do during a lesson on a big HPC, but on the mini HPC you could actually do that. You could hit limitations and see what will happen and teach people how to cope with that. You also, and this was the big thing, was people get this email, say register for your account on the HPC. They don't do that. They show up on the day and you've got to jump through all those hoop of keeping people registered, which is not a quick thing to do because sometimes there are loads of things to be done before you get your actual HPC account. So also the nice thing is it doesn't interfere with the real HPC, so users can get quite afraid they're going to break something on the real machine. So in this case, you can assure them it's here. We can you're not going to break anything of national importance or international security or something. And of course, if you don't have access to a real HPC, then that's also covered. You also the day when we ran the workshop, one of the things was somebody was doing something on the node. They were running on the login node, and you know what's that? You can't even log in, let alone run your scripts. So you won't have that, and you won't also have problems with network access because it's all local. So like Colin said, the reason there was a scarcity of Raspberry Pis was because I probably had them all in my house. So although I got the money for building a mini HPC, I decided to go for these rock pies, which are sold in the UK by a company called OKDO and RS Electronic. And it was an absolute disaster trying to get these things ordered. And the time I had to work on this thing was passing because these guys couldn't get my order sorted out. So I collected all the Raspberry Pis in my house and built this one that you see there in the picture. And that consisted of three Raspberry Pi four nodes and then one for the login node. In the meantime, I've added, I think, two more nodes or something. It's running the Pi OS Lite, the 64-bit one, and then the head node also acts as a Wi-Fi access point. So everybody can just log into that. In the meantime, I didn't manage to buy the rock pies, but we are still in the process of setting that up because the idea in the end is, especially the Raspberry Pis would probably make more sense, but the rock pies were slightly more at a higher spec. But the idea is in the end to produce two images that you can, again, just download from the website, and we want to be able to build up this operating system with scripts, so we still need to do the scripting. At the moment, I'm still doing everything manually, but so we want to work towards the scripting and then download an SD card image, which you can just write to it, so that the people who will end up with this mini HPC don't need the knowledge to set all of this up. And this is basically the software that we want installed on it, because this is what the lesson covers and what most people will be using, and what we need to actually do what we want to do for the networking, for the scheduling, etc. And then I've got to get to the point where I credit everybody, so all our gets here. If you want to know where I got the STLs for the printing. So a whole lot of people, I do have to give them credit because everything is their work. Oh, and I forgot to put this picture on last night. So this is sudo for executing bash commands. So I forgot that one to add it then. It's the important one.
I just want a saw that was called RM.
Yeah, and so here's some more links and credits. The Raspberry Pi image that we have at the moment that Colin's been talking about can be downloaded from that link there. You can find us at carpentriesoffline.org. And what's not on there would hopefully soon be on there because it's a work in progress all the time. We also have a Slack channel on the Carpentries workspace. And so we can be found there. So if you have any questions or anything, you can get us there. And that QR code will lead you to carpentriesoffline.org. And I think that's the end.
Thank you. We have time for questions.
I stunned. Okay, so
forget to repeat the question.
Oh, how can we use Carpentry, or how has Carpentry offline been used outside the team? So one of the things so far was, because we're still working on the on this image, is that we've got a lot of people that keep saying they're interested, but nobody has really taken it on yet. So I, especially with the mini HPC, also I'm still working on it, but I hope to now soon be able to run my first workshop on it, and then hopefully it'll take off from there, because then I can say to people, okay, we've done it. With also I've kind of used it. I went to University of Strathclyde to give to run a workshop, and the power went down and the internet went down, and I was able to use it there just from my laptop actually that day. Well, no, I didn't use the Pi. I did use the Pi too, because I had it all there. But we've not been able to get people, because I feel it's not in a state where I can actually set somebody off with no experience, because we also need to develop an offboarding lesson. So we hope to have more hackathons and more work sessions where we can work on these things and get it ready for other people to adopt. So if anybody here wants to go off and adopt it, please let me know. And good. you know where to find me. Actually, there was another one that I ran in South Africa where we wanted to test this, and we ran into a limit of 8 people connecting at that point. But I think Colin has sorted the problem out.
It's sorted on the newer Raspberry Pis, but the Zero, I think, still has a limit, and some of the older ones do, but there was a firmware fix for that.
Right. So
a typical carpentry's workshop would probably have between 10 and 30 people, so we'd be aiming for that sort of size again.
Oh, the mic. Sorry. Yeah. Good point.
So just a typical carpentry's workshop would be between 10 and 30 people, but we had limits with the older hardware, but we think the newer hardware doesn't have that problem, and we should be able to get 30 people on it.
Yeah, I spoke fast and I rattled off because I didn't know how much time was left. I don't know.
Just a couple of minutes to breathe is great. Now, a tough day is full of good talks, so 12 minutes is great.
And this hat makes me warm.
At least we didn't get the hard hats.
Get comfortable, of course. You have 5 minutes. If there are questions, please ask away. If not, it's cool. You all have been informed that we have a social event tonight. We are going as an organizing team of this room to the Tavernier, a bar. So you can check the QR code on the left. That's the way to the Tavernier. We are also organizing an off-den, so an event next week that's going to take place online with some other talks. Not only that couldn't make it in the tight schedule today, but people who couldn't travel to Brussels. We wanted to be inclusive of those people too. So that's the QR code in the middle. And the website is the last QR code that's on the back of the room and the right there.
A very important question. Where can I get a hat? You're the best.
I've got some more at home. Next time I go to touring, I'll bring one.
The really great one.
Yeah. Also the tool belt.
Yeah, that's great.
Yes. Actually, these tools are all representative of the carpentry. So this is the Amicore software. This is a library carpentry.
We also have a protractor, but we're figuring out how to get that on the bed.
Thank you very much.